start getting this. Could you just say your name and where we are today? And thank you so much for doing this.
It's Catherine Kirkland, and I'm at 501 Tennessee Valley Road, Mill Valley.
Thank you. And today is April
25th,
right? Yeah.
Friday.
2014. Okay, great. And it please be comfortable if you want to sit or stand, whatever you like to do.
This was just to go with you. That's why I stuck those.
Oh, great. Okay. So you were saying, I was asking you if you had lived here all your life, and you were telling me that you were born in this house.
I was raised in this house, yeah.
Okay.
I was born in Cottage Hospital in San Rafael.
Oh,
my
okay.
mom was actually born in the house because they didn't have hospitals.
Okay, and your mom's name was?
Dorothy.
Yes.
And then my grandmother came here first of all. This was her house, her family, which was Seamus.
Wow, yeah.
And there were five Seamuses.
And she came here as part of?
Of that family when they moved from San Francisco.
Okay.
But her husband, Grandpa Pimentel, he came in, jumped off of a whaling boat, came here. And then because you couldn't get married without papers, he went back and got papers, and then they got married. And they bought this property from her brother, which was still the same family.
Okay, great. Wow.
That was the ranch across the street. So my grandpa Pimentel had Coyote Dairy.
Okay.
And that's where the ranch was. And then his milk was shipped to San Francisco by ferry. And that was part of the, there was a whole lot of stuff with George Christopher, and a whole lot of things came down that were, you know, a lot of stuff that goes down. So then he ticked up and moved, and he moved to Hamilton Field, where the overpass and the thing is now.
Right.
That's where he moved the animals to. And then he was already crippled, so they didn't stay in the animal business too much longer. But my dad's brother took over the animals, and then they moved to Petaluma. So then they had a dairy in Magnolia for another, it was all the time we were growing up. And then when my cousin got married, her husband was from Wisconsin, so they took the animals that were left in Petaluma to Oakdale to have a ranch. Wow. And then Oakdale, they were on the back of the Merced River, and they just couldn't keep up with the environmentalists and everything. People were, you know, paying extensive amount of money, and if you were a big operation, you could, but they were only milking 200, 250 cattle. So now they're in Monroe, Oregon, but it's still the same stock that they bred to begin with.
Wow. And where did that stock come from originally? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. When we were teenagers, Jeannie got a cow. Her name was Seegis. I still remember. I mean, why would you want a cow as like a teenager? But that was her big thing. Cost like $700, but that was her breeder that she used through all, they have national statistics, and they sell to Japan. I mean, they have very breeding stock that's all the way up the state California breeders and things like that, because
right.
that was what they did. And that's what they do. They don't, can't, the farming is not keeping them alive now. It's the fact that they still have good breeding stock that people are interested in.
Huh. And when you say the farming is not keeping them alive, does that mean?
Financially, you can't support.
Oh, okay.
You can't. Nobody can pretty much stay alive.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, we have about 300 chickens right now, and we have 26 sheep. And
that's where the woolly egg?
Woolly egg comes from, yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't. Financially, it's not too cool because the feed and everything is so high.
Wow. Because you, I think you're selling your eggs in the local markets now, right?
We're at Mill Valley Market.
Yeah.
It's my son's thing. Both him and his wife have jobs. She teaches school, and he works for the union. He's a grip on movies and stuff. But
okay.
He has flex hours or plays and all that kind of stuff. Like, he was busy totally nonstop when we were doing the races and stuff.
Right.
He worked as a carpenter and electrician, so he did.
The World Cup races? Or is that
yeah.
What, yeah.
And now that he's down, pretty much not much is going on right now, so then he has more time but he's off to some place today. So he just takes jobs by the union. You rotate and you call in and get hours and stuff. That's how
that works.
Yeah.
And so when you, what were your first memories of what it was like living here?
Well, just, we had no contact with other kids. We came home and if we went to school, I went on the school bus from here to Sausalito. We went all the way down to the valley. The Lopez's kids were down there, and then the Clarkers were midway. And then we always, Rudy Bush, We stopped at the Buckeye, pick up Rudy Bush. We went to Central School, and sometimes we got off at Central School, and sometimes we stay on the bus and we go to Old Town and then pick up the kids from the forts and stuff.
Okay.
But I went to Central School, which is now the library down there.
Okay.
Until Martin Luther King opened, and then we moved to, I think, 7th or 8th grade, we moved up to Martin Luther King.
Huh. And what year, about what year did you start going to school?
Well, I got a...
We did
high school. Yeah, just did normal.
Kindergarten. You started in kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Down in Sausalito.
Okay.
But you get on the bus, and you have to get on the bus an hour before school started. And then coming home, you had an hour. If we did everybody before they did us, it really depended on who was driving or what the school was.
Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time on the buses, and we come home, and then my father had animals and stuff. He was when all the public housing and stuff, after Marine Ship and stuff, we had cattle out there, but then it started getting run, and they get ran by dogs, and we couldn't keep up because they were breaking legs and stuff, and so then he went to work full-time, and then we just had a few animals left.
Okay, so by that time, your grandparents had shut down the dairy.
My grandparents had taken their part of the dairy away. My dad just had a few beef and things that he was raising, but... it wasn't something you could do because the dogs would run them and stuff. And I can still remember seeing cows, and they put them up on belts and stuff to see if they could get their legs back and things. But generally, they ended up losing them.
Because they were just exhausted and collapsed?
Wow. Well, they couldn't take, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then it was just the dogs. And there was people were having dogs and letting them run, and they'd run up over the hills and things. And then they'd run the animals because they'd pack up.
Oh. Wow.
So that's when he decided that we wouldn't have any more animals.
So did you work at all with the animals, or you went to school and came home and...
Yeah, pretty much. My dad would... We only had a couple of things that had to be fed and stuff. But over the years, I mean, I've seen pigs. My mother had chickens. During the war, milk, we sold the cream to other people because that was where the commodity was with the cream and stuff.
So now, when
and
you say
had rabbits,
do you mean Vietnam or World War II?
Two.
So I
was born in 42. So
okay, so you, but you,
I was still a kid. See, 5, 7 years old when she was selling cream. Then
okay, so when you say
when you, there was restrictions and people couldn't buy stuff,
and you remember that? Okay.
Well, we had a separator back here, and so the milk would come in, and she'd have to stand and crank and separate it, and. We always had the blue milk, and I actually liked the blue milk because they sell the thing that was expensive, would be the cream and stuff.
Right.
And people will tease me because non-fat milk is always, when I go to the ranch still now, I don't take, coming from the barn before it's done or anything, I don't go for the one that's got cream on top of it. I always like, well, before you had coolers too, and over the years in the barns, and so the milk would come down the cooler, and you get this thing that's kind of like ice milk.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Cream is kind of like yucky to me, and people always think, oh.
And
we didn't have cream.
Or did they call it Blue John, right? Or
I don't know, I just call it blue milk.
Blue milk, okay.
Yeah, but that's like the non-fat, super skin stuff, and okay. Everybody says that's blue milk, but
so do you
no cream in it.
Do you remember soldiers when you say people at the forts?
No, I just know that I had a picture of a cousin who came back and stuff like that. There's a picture in Novato. So at that time, they were still ranching in Novato because he's there and he's holding me and I'm just little.
Right, right.
And where the arch was, the Hamilton Field was right there, and then it was like the first ranch on the outside.
Okay, yeah.
Not where that overpass is that goes from Burger King.
Right.
And then my grandfather went to work for Peeney's Hardware, and the trains would come in with the feed and stuff.
Okay. Now, where is Peeney's Hardware? I remember it.
Well, now it's... in South Nevada, but it used to be on the rain drag where that Whole Foods is.
Oh, okay.
Because the trains and stuff could come, and then they'd come in and they'd unload it, because I don't exactly know where they came from, but the grains and the hay and the feed and stuff came into Peeney's Hardware there on that.
Okay. And then, were there trains coming up through here at all, or?
No. But the train to send the milk was down there.
Where did it come from?
Sausalito.
Okay. So you had to get... when
my mother had to drive.
Yeah.
About maybe 6 months ago on the bin, they took down the tree. And she'd always tell me that was the tree that stopped her because she was taking milk. She was driving like a 13 or something. And she was taking milk and she hit the tree there. Oh. And she was empty. And she said all the cans went down into that creek. But oh, the no. tree stopped the truck.
Well, and that's so good.
Only about 6 months ago when they made that new walk down there that they actually cut the tree down. And it's really pretty quite huge. But I know that tree has been there all that time.
Wow.
It's kind of weird because you say, oh, that was my mom's tree.
It was the tree. It saved her.
Yeah, right.
And so you said you didn't have too many neighbors, just
the kids on the bus. And so once you came home, you were home.
And did you play a lot up in the hills and the creeks, or how was
just
that?
Just went anywhere. The same thing was with my kids. The school happened when my sister was, but my kids, for time being, went over there to school. But there was, on the road, we'd see 30 cars a day.
Yeah.
Now I see 30 carts just trying to get out of my driveway.
Wow.
And it's not like it was. The Inn Ranch belonged to my father's godfather, so we had total access to that.
Right.
And then in the middle were Lopez's, which were also friends, and then Betancourt's. And so it was the Portuguese. It's a Portuguese valley.
Right. So is that your family heritage?
Yeah. My grandfather was from, on both sides, are from the Azores. One set from the Peak and one set from St. George.
Wow. And how much of was your heritage part of your growing up?
Well, it was because, like the Holy Ghost Society, I mean, your church, I mean, you could not have things, but if the church, when it was Holy Ghost, you would donate to the church. And
right. And you were one of the...
I've been a queen before.
Yeah.
My girls were queen. My mom was queen.
And what happens in that festival?
It's just that, well, at the time, it was the only place you went.
The church.
The Holy Ghost Festival was what you went. We didn't get new clothes for Easter. We got a new dress for Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And when I first started going, we'd have a meal on Friday night, and they would crown the queen. Then it went to Saturday and Sunday only. And then now it's just Sunday afternoon. And sometimes they don't even have a night meal on Sunday. But it was all the other... And our hall down there has big vats and stuff, and it was cooking whole cows and stuff.
Wow, special food?
It's called soupish. Soupish de carne. It's just meat that's been boiled with a lot of spices, and then you serve it over French bread.
Ooh, sounds good.
So it's very ethnic kind of poverty
right.
food.
Oh. And through the years, did the same people sort of participate?
Pretty much, but that's what's different now. It's totally different. I usually don't because it's a totally different group and everybody. My aunt is 93, and I mean, there's very few people that are still there. They just gave us a picture for me to try to identify some people from the 100th anniversary. Now they've already had their 125th.
Wow.
And so I can recognize those that were my contemporaries, but I can't recognize
the newer.
And
group.
So well, I yeah. took it to my aunts and I gave it to two or three people, and I took it going to my cousin. He's trying to figure in all the people that are in the picture. But I have a lot of the old pictures, which I gave him, too. So that's Mike Mullen. They're going to do a walking tour of Sausalito. So they also did the history of various places.
Right.
And then various people I remember that have old houses down there and stuff.
Right.
He would say something, and then it would just trigger a whole, well, that's so-and-so's mother, and so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that, and so-and-so is still alive. And then you ask me something specific, and I don't know.
Well, I saw on I think it was on Facebook, there was a Portuguese society.
That's it. IDSST. They have Sip and Saber. And now they're having a walking tour. So he comes here every couple of weeks or something as he gets more stuff to see. And then I've been giving him old pictures and stuff and things I remember about... say the Little League, that was no place, but I had a picture of them in the parade. Then we tracked it down. I had a picture of St. Mary's Chinese girls. And I'm not sure if it's the sister cities, Japan, or... But anyway, it was kind of interesting that the Chinese drum corps always participate in the Holy Ghost parade, because then this is people coming from the sea. So, you know, there was interculture going on back then and stuff. So.
Right, right. And you have no idea how that happened.
How they showed up?
Yeah, how the two groups get together.
Well, they were just... I was a majorette, and I was twirling with the with the Native Sons, but I also twirled for the French. It was called the Lac Drum Corps. Anyway, the instructor was from France, and I mean, we did the when we also went to the consulate and stuff from France. So here we were intermingling, and we always competed against the St. Mary's Chinese girls that came out of Chinatown and stuff. So there was a lot of things that actually took place that nobody paid any attention to, right, so to speak. But right. It was just the way it was. Like the Lacoute, all those girls in that drum corps were pretty much of French descent or something, and so they wanted to keep their music alive. The Chinese drum and bell corps played their kind of music.
Right.
And I mean, like when the council, it's June 14th or something, I got to go into the council and all because we played inside for the dignitaries that were there and... But it was just something that you did.
The Portuguese dignitaries?
No, this was for the French.
Oh, that was for the French.
I was involved in the drum corps that was French, and then there was Chinese, and then there's Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
We played in the Native Sons Drum and Bugle Corps, which was out of Sausalito, and those were all Native Sons. And their practice was the central school, and then we had a building down there that was our hall that's now retirement community, and we practiced in there every Friday night.
And this was in high school or middle school?
I started twirling when I was 8 or so. So
it
was,
wow.
And then I went and quit, so to speak, when I went to San Francisco State, and then I didn't. And I taught. And when I taught PE and stuff, I taught.
Call from.
Oh, no, it's one of those people.
Okay.
It's one of them people's.
Call from.
So, but I mean, you didn't have... too much out, I mean, to do. I like Tuesdays because I'd get to stay in, my mom worked, and I'd get to stay in Sausalito because I'd go to catechism, and we'd walk up the hill to catechism, and then when we walked back, we could go to a store, you know, and get candy and then play on the street or something until my mom came.
Oh, wow.
What
kind of store was it that where you got
Butterworth's where we could get candy or something. Butterworth is Bobby Hoover, you know, her family had that for forever.
And was it, what did it look like?
The grocery
like?
Store, just a, yeah.
With the candy in the cases and
no, she just
jars.
Had, she, no, we were already into candy bars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you just didn't go in and get to get your own thing because you were always here.
Right, right. So your mom worked late on Tuesdays doing what?
No, she worked at the hospital.
Oh, okay.
So I would go get, that time would be mine to be with friends in Sausalito or whatever, or to go to a friend's house after catechism or just come down from catechism and play in the street until I got picked up. Otherwise, you're on the bus and you come home.
Okay. And why did you get to do that on Tuesdays but not...
Because I had catechism at church.
Oh, okay. So that's why.
Then they used to let us out early.
Okay.
I mean, it was part of the thing. You know, you just like Good Friday, you know, 3 hours, but now nobody closes anything. But
right.
Those days, I mean... And then on catechism day, I get out of school early to go to catechism.
Okay.
And we walk up, and then I'd be able to stay with some friends in the area.
And so lots of kids just didn't have to have a mother there, pick them up and take them someplace. Like, seems like now either a mother or a babysitter or somebody.
No, you just did your thing.
Just walked.
Or you didn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually when I was competing and stuff, then I ended up driving by high school. I actually got... 15 and a half, I got my license as early as I could.
Right.
Because the team I was competing with was all the way in Napa and stuff, and so.
Oh, okay.
I spent a lot of time.
And this was with twirling. Wow.
Yeah.
And it seems like that was a big part of your activity.
Yeah. I practiced a lot. And that's what we did. Well, my dad was still playing in the drum corps and all.
Oh, he was.
Yes, they marched, both my mom and dad marched across the Golden Gate Bridge on opening day.
Wow.
But now my grandson has never paid any interest or something. And all of a sudden, I don't know, somebody asked him, he's a sophomore, and then he decided he was going to be, he said, well, he didn't play. And so I said, well, he should be, there shouldn't be any problem. It shouldn't be someplace in your blood or something.
Right.
And so then... I don't know, about 3 months ago he started, but he joined the Color Guard. So right now he's in Hawaii. The whole Reardon marching band is in Hawaii there.
Wow.
And so, but even, I think He just now started the clarinet, maybe 3 months or something. But I think he has an ear.
A musical
ear. It should be able to. My brother played trumpet in the jazz band and all. And, you know, so I think it's there. But he's just going, you know. So maybe he's going to kick off. I don't know. But I think probably someplace he has a, he can hear the beat.
Yes.
It's kind of, you know, like, he should be able to pick up 4/4 pretty easily.
Sounds like
it. But he's going, So then he decided, oh, well. And they said, well, they needed somebody in the color guard. They really want him to play too, but he's a big kid. Wow. See, and they like it when the band has the letters of the school or something, you know, across the back of the thing. But he's resisted and said no. And he said, well, he'd learn the clarinet, so we'll see.
So for weekends, it sounds like maybe if your brother was in a band and you were...
My mom and dad. That's pretty much what we did.
Well, yeah.
And we never had... The big thing was when it was state competition, like in September, the Native Sons, because that's the admission day. Everything would close down and we'd compete on admission day someplace in the state because that was the big deal, you know, California's birthday. Well, that would be the only time we get to go to a motel, see? And I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
To go to a motel and have a swimming pool.
Have a swimming pool.
Yeah. I didn't learn to swim till high school. And you had to learn to swim to get out of high school. So that's...
Wow. Yeah.
But you weren't... You know, people don't think about that.
So like Friday night would be who's...
We would be practicing.
You'd be practicing and then both of you would play at some event on Saturday or...
Well, if it was the drum corps, then my brother was in it or I'd be off to... You know, we just had a lot of... things that were related to that.
Yeah.
But Seam Point Native Sons, they were state champions for lots of years.
Wow.
Out of Sausalito, so.
So you went all over.
Yeah. And then I was, the girls, the major I was with was out of Napa. That's where I ended up. Originally she was out of South City, but she was moved to Napa. And I mean, I've got a little thing. I was looking at some of my junk the other day and I was very excited because we're the color guard for Nixon. I mean, after all that. But anyway, it was pretty neat to send the Western Union message home. Today we met Nixon and we were the color guard at his when he landed in Seattle because we were up competing at the Sea Fair in Seattle.
Oh, you know, wow. Yeah. So what was that like? I mean, you went to the airport and
we were the guard that got on both sides while he came down. Yeah.
Wow.
I was so excited.
Yeah, how old were you?
Probably junior.
Oh yeah, that's
sophomore or junior in high school.
Oh, that's great. And so, did that make you become a big Nixon fan, or
no? Really? It was just exciting.
It was just exciting.
Yeah, it was exciting to be at the Sea Fair, and then the Portland Rose Parade at night with all the lights, and then it's kind of like the Rose Bowl Rose Parade. Then they take all the floats and stuff, and then you can go see them in the day and things like that.
Wow. So,
everything's, that's how I got, I got from here.
Yeah, all around.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So now, were there ever national competitions where you went nationally? Mm-hmm. So you stayed?
But we stayed statewide.
Okay.
My cousin was out of San Jose, and their team went back a lot, but we competed in Arizona and won that. So we pretty much did the West Coast. And then we won in Seattle. So,
wow. And so is that sort of where you got your friendships from, the activities that you were doing? Or were your better friends more the kids that you rode the bus with? Or?
No, not really. You're just the kids I twirled with and stuff. But those are weekend and work people. And the people here that's on the ranch and stuff, we only saw each other on the
Bus,
or school. When we got dressed for Holy Ghost. I mean, when we went to Portuguese things.
Oh, okay.
They were all Portuguese, except, yeah. So that was pretty much.
So did you go to church every weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd see each other there.
But then when Holy Ghost starts, it's about 6 or 8 weeks when you go to the different lodges. Because each lodge has their own festival.
Okay.
So Sausalito used to be the largest.
Okay.
Because we had all Tiburon, Muir Beach, Bolinas, all those Portuguese people came into Sausalito. Then a lot of times you belong to more than one lodge, but you have Novato, and you have Petaluma, and you have Vallejo, and you have Benicia. And then once a year they'd go to Fort Bragg, which is, but theirs was always later, because there's runs like 6 weeks in a row, the different lodges. Just first there's Novato, then Sausalito, then, and then maybe, it's usually when school was back in. The one in Fort Bragg takes place.
Is it related to Easter at all, or is it
Pentecost?
Okay.
6 weeks.
So yeah, so it's always at the same time.
Yeah, basically.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have one brother and one sister.
Okay, okay.
There was three of us. I have double cousins. Those are the ones that have the ranch, because sisters married brothers. My mother and father got married, and then his brother married the sister, because that's the only way you met people. And he met my mother because he went to work for his godfather down. My father met my mother because he went to work for his godfather
on
the ranch.
That's the only way you met people, because you were centered your life around the church, that's how you met other Portuguese people? Or?
Well, mostly the ranch and the working and stuff.
Oh, so...
But to do anything, then you got to go to the festa or Holy Ghost thing to dance and eat and, you know, socialize.
Socialize, okay. But you met through the work?
Pretty much all those guys met as being on the farm.
And was there any feeling like, oh, you know, your parents wanted you to marry someone who was Portuguese, and there was...
He had a half Portuguese in him.
Okay.
But, yeah. By then, we're talking, you know, 1956 or 60, things changed.
Right, right. And did you feel any, like, you fit in just as well as any other kids in the area?
Oh, yeah, but we just didn't belong in... in Sausalito, all over the hill. Okay, there's definitely, I mean, even when I went, I laugh at this because I do work at the church, and we still have the women's club versus, and I said, I can remember that, like if there was a dance, they put on a dance for everybody.
Right.
But see, I also have integrated with Marin City.
Right.
So, I mean, if we had a dance or something, then they had to invite it. When we were at middle school, that's how when we were starting to integrate, and they say things like, oh, dearie, put your coat here. Dearie, don't this. Like, oh. And then sometimes I'm working at the church or something, and somebody will use that dearie term on me or something. They go, ah, it's 55 years later, and it's still dearie.
Dearie, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. It's funny.
But we were. And then I didn't speak Portuguese because my family, my mother... grandfather, I mean, everybody spoke Portuguese, but we didn't, because that would make us, if we went to school, then they'd call us a granny or something, which were the people that were just coming over and couldn't speak English.
Okay,
so yeah. You didn't want to be a granny. You didn't want to be a greenhorn.
Right, right.
And so consequently, nobody pushed speaking Portuguese and stuff.
Do you feel like it's the opposite now? More kids are...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And especially my son marries a girl from Mexico, but she teaches Spanish. And so she not only, she's fluent,
right.
More than fluent. That's her, she came here as an exchange student, exchange teacher a long time ago. And now she teaches at Rancho Nicasio, but Spanish is her first language.
Right, yeah. Right. Huh. It's interesting how things change, isn't it?
Yep. Because they really didn't push it.
Now, I understand at one point there was a lot of, like, the salmon would come up here and in the creeks and things and spawn, or is that before your time, maybe?
Well, I don't know so much salmon, but, I mean, we used to have, my dad fished a lot, but we fished off a Tennessee beach.
Oh.
I got some pictures in the room. And, I mean, eel and capistrone and all those, and we'd come home, always he'd come home with gunny sacks full of fish.
Wow.
And now there's not such a thing.
Because it's overfished, you mean?
Yeah, and they're just not there. But I mean, that's what we did. It wasn't not unusual. I can just remember them. They take a nail through the eel, and then they skin it. Because then we do a thing called vingadage, which is a Portuguese marinate. And then they fry it up into little pieces.
Mm.
The eel.
Sounds good.
And it's kind of like, but it's not like fish and chips because it's got the vinegar in it. But we did a lot of fish and chips and stuff.
Huh.
We always had fish. And then my dad, I would do it, but I don't really like doing it, but he was always like, the Portuguese like the heads and stuff, and they like the eyeballs and all, so you'd have to boil them up and then break it down and then take all the flesh off of the heads, and it's that gluten stuff that comes on those fish and stuff is horrible on your head. But that's what you do it because Papa liked it. So.
So you didn't keep the actual fish head. You just stripped
boiled it all up. But then when you served it, it was kind of like a choupine. It was
kind of like a soup.
Yeah, because you put the tomato and onions and potatoes.
Yeah.
But pretty much everybody has their variation.
Right.
Italians or whoever, they have their variation. And it's pretty much the same.
Did you like it?
I didn't. We ate it.
Yeah.
Just like grass soup. I always say, oh. And I didn't like grass soup, but that was fumsh because it grew in the creek. Watercress grew in the creek.
Uh-huh.
So we ate those things. Now, I didn't realize until, I don't know, I was thinking it was adult shopping, that cows really weren't yellow fat and stuff. Because all we had to eat were the cows that were dairy cows that had gotten too old to produce.
Right.
So we always had that yellowy. And that was always Portuguese way, is it was boiled up and spices were put on it. And
right.
But it really wasn't the kind of meat that...
it wasn't lean cattle or something
like
that.
No, at Holy Ghost, when they cut up to do the soupers, there were always on Saturday, the workers and stuff, you'd get steak and they cut off because they butchered the cows and then they cut them up originally themselves and stuff. And there would be steak and they would pound it down with seasoning and stuff and then steak. Mm. But generally you had pot roast or stew meat the bones.
How do you spell soupish?
Just S-O-U-P-A-S.
P-A-S, okay.
Yeah. Soup de carne.
Oh, okay.
Soup of meat. But it just means plain old boiled meat, just with a lot of spices, especially coons. And
do you still cook those dishes?
A little bit.
It's a lot of work.
But we can still go to the Holy Ghost and have it, see?
Oh, that's nice. Because
they're going to cook. But now it's a different...
recipe or...
Yeah, a different thing. And my aunt, it's so funny because she got so upset because they cut the bread a different way. She says, it's those Brazilians. They cut the bread long instead of this way. And it's just evolving a lot of things. And then the cabbage and the linguine and everything was put in the same pot and done. But now they do it, they put it on the table separate and stuff. And it's just, it's different.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And probably because they're trying to accommodate people's different tastes and things like that.
A little more gourmet-like or something, then dump it into a pot. But we always had it just in the pot.
Right, right.
So it's just the way it is.
And so this area was really good for dairy farming, or because I thought I read something about how it wasn't really good for hay, so you had to ship in the hay all the time.
Well, we had hay, but we hay press down there is where the hay was, but that belonged to Martin's and stuff. It's still called hay press. There's water up in there, and
where is hay press?
It's when you hike down. There's you cut into the valley after the double gates.
Okay.
That's called hay press back in there.
Okay.
Because that's what, and I guess Grandpa had potatoes here. There was no willows. Till they built the school, this was all open, see.
Oh.
I'll show you. Okay, for my things. But it wasn't
Should I follow
the way it is now. Yeah. I just got some stuff on the wall that might help you.
Okay, great.
See, that's Tennessee Beach.
Wow.
See, but when you go around this bend here, there's a place back and they get into the rocks and stuff that would be when the tide was out so that they could get the eel and things.
Right back in there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This was painted by Rosemary Martin, who's lived at the Inn Ranch.
Oh, wow.
She painted a lot.
It's beautiful.
She was at the Civic Center. A lot of her paintings were there.
Is that what those are old pictures of your house?
Yeah, not that old, but they are pictures.
They're beautiful.
This lady knocked on my door and she was, her father had died and she was trying to sell some of his stuff. So I bought it from her for $100 or something. That someone else painted for us.
So she painted the one with the oranges in it. I'll take pictures so that
that's fine.
That's okay. Yeah, the orange fence. Oh, that's beautiful.
But, okay. Now this is... You hiked Tennessee Beach?
Yes.
Okay. That's Martin Brothers Barnes.
Wow.
That's... Rosemary painted this before. This was on the lower, which is all muddy a lot of the times. But that's where the actual milking barns are. my dad here, he's in front of the milking barns. He's on a horse, because he had a trick horse that he rode. But see, that's at the milking barns.
Wow, yeah.
And that's this area here that's got the pond-like. Mm-hmm. They did that on purpose. My uncle and Al Sanis, the guy that owned the markets, Shoreline Market and stuff, they flooded that so because they deer hunt and the ducks and stuff. So that's was their own little, that's how come that is there. They used the tractors or whatever to make the berms and stuff. So that's where they hunted from.
Huh.
That's my, this is the, see, we had the little barn up the back. The barn is still there, so to speak, in the same location. But see, we had little cows.
Right.
That's just the backyard. Okay, that's right here in front. Now see how open that field is?
Oh my gosh. The picture with, is that your grandfather and his dog? And looking over towards the school is just a field.
Now, this
trees.
Is going this way. Oh, right okay. here. But this one is looking up towards the school. That's the ranch. That's the dairy part of the ranch.
Wow.
The dairy ranch.
Yeah, it looks very different, doesn't it?
Yep. See, now this is that uncle I told you said about the war.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is it. This, you can't really tell, but this is the ranch in Hamilton Field.
Okay.
And that was just a picture of how it is now, looking up our driveway. This was kind of...
To compare it, yeah.
That's sitting in the front of the house. Right. That's me.
Oh, with your dolls.
A couple of dolls. My aunt made those dolls.
Wow.
See, and that's still over here. The uke, this whole, was a whole line of uke trees, where the Model T was parked before they did the housing. And that's what caused the discussion, because... My deed says uke tree to uke tree. And supposed to be 3 acres, which was one for each of the girls, each of the daughters. But when they were done, it's under 2 acres. It's 1.78. But it was just no way to try to...
To try to...
Work it out.
Make it
stick. There was all kinds of stories. Like the Army Corps of Engineers took it when they were coming down off the ridge. Because my dad worked for the Army Corps of Engineers making the bunkers on this end of Tennessee Valley, but they never ended up needing them. But supposedly they were going to drop from the Golden Gate through here over rather than how they do it. And supposedly that may be where that's when the property got annexed or something, but we could never figure, nobody could ever
could
find the right
it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So because see, this is how that was totally open out there.
Wow.
And this is how it is now when they were tearing it down. That's when we were sitting on the steps and when I was little. Right.
So do you remember if your dad was very, were they really truly worried that somebody might attack and come this direction? Or was he just sort of...
No, you can listen to various people that talk and stuff about it. There's various stories about it.
Yeah. But you don't remember your dad or mom talking about it?
No, I just remember them saying that the war is over with, because my mom said she was out working in the thing, and I can remember her coming in and saying they were doing vegetables or something. And that.
Huh.
But he, because he was a milker and stuff, he didn't go into the service, but then you had to do time, and so he was running the Caterpillars, the heavy equipment, right here off of Tennessee.
So did you sort of feel a difference between when you were living your time of growing up here and then when it all of a sudden became like Marin, cereal, the whole peacock feathers and...
Well, my kids were involved in all that, but my kids were still in 4-H. I mean, they went back east and they were at this school over here and we had all the open classrooms going on and that type of thing. And when they went back east, everybody expected, because they had seen that thing that... Marsha Heckman, I can't remember, about them all having hot tubs and things.
Right.
The kids back east had even seen that.
Yeah.
And they expect the kids to take peacock feathers and stuff when they went to nationals, because they were 4-H and they had three different kids actually went back to all-star conventions. And
wow.
They took, one time we went to Cronkite and got little things and said, part of the GGNRA, we filled up little vials with, but they really expected them to bring peacock feathers stuck to that nature.
Huh.
So it's kind of like weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I went through all of that, and everybody still thinks if you live in Marin, living here, that we've got a lot of money and stuff, and here most of us are on the borderline of nothing. If the property hadn't been saved by GGNRA and Prop 13 and stuff, then
right,
we wouldn't be here. I don't know. This is all the stuff he's been collecting for the walking tour.
Okay.
So if there's something that you particularly want, I probably have it.
Okay. Well, as we go through, just tell me anything that you...
Well, see, this recall. Is Coyote Jersey Farm.
Oh.
That was my grandfather's.
Yeah.
This is a barn we think is the one in... well, it used to be Slide Ranch. But we never could identify this, so I just keep it. So. But see, they were getting dressed for Holy Ghost. This is why I have it, because they were... It was in one of the relatives' stuff, because they're all
dressed with their parasols
and
hats.
And then they decorated the cows and stuff.
See, they decorated the cows,
to march in the parade, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's just an old... But see, that's the lodge, but then the buildings are old in Sausalito. And this is my mother's thing that she told somebody about. See, there's the ranch. I saw you that picture over there, and this is how it is now.
Yeah, with the school. Yeah.
This is the front yard. This is, I had a discussion with the PG&E people. That tower has been there the whole time. This is just, it went across here, the front yard. Went all the way across.
So
my mom and my aunt and...
That's 1935, and that electrical tower was there. What was it there for the, I guess just a...
But the electric, I guess, but I said, you know, we were having some problems and stuff, but...
What were the problems?
I don't get enough power. And then they had the discussion. A couple of the people had gotten cancer, you know.
Right.
In that Tan Valley School, there were two or three. One of them was a doctor that got it. And so consequently, they were blaming the towers and things. And I said, well, that tower has been there. And then I had found this picture and blew it up to show them that it really had been there. This
biographical sketch is...
Right.
Oh, so this was a taped oral history that was done with your mom, right? Mm-hmm.
So any of this kind of stuff that you want to look at.
Okay.
This is Sausalito's anniversary. And then this story about... Well, this is twice I've been in the paper. But when they came here about the body up that they had found up on the hill here, I said, I don't know. And ironically, my girlfriend lives across the street, and the lady's having a new baby, and they were digging up to make more room downstairs. And I said, oh, maybe we'll find Mrs. Smith. Well, about 2 weeks later, there's a cop knocking on my door, and they had found Mrs. Smith. He says, do you remember anything? I said, no, you know, kind of. And all of a sudden, I called him back, and I said, you know what? I think I know who it is. It's Mrs. Smith. She used to live over there, and she totally disappeared, and we can never figure out what happened to her. And she had a 1964, I think, penny in her pocket. So it was right on target, and that's who it was, with the DNA. And they found out. I always thought she was rich, because she had a big... I saw this lady walking all the time, but then when I get my girlfriend's, this big black car would come, and I thought just because they had a lot of money and stuff. But I didn't know it was a mafia car. And her husband, I guess, was involved in, and she actually was a Russian immigrant and was involved with the mafia. And I guess he killed her, but he had died by the time they found her body and stuff. And then they did send her remains back to her family back east and things. But there was a whole, and it was, we always joked about it. We'd say, Mrs. Smith is under those stairs. We know he put her under those stairs, you know.
Oh, no.
You know, it was kind of like we had always figured that. And then he went back and he brought another, 7 years later, he brought a girl. She was a Tonganese princess. He brought her back as his bride. And I can't remember. Patty was friends with her. But she was really nice. But she never kind of much left the area. I guess she was quite a bit younger than he was. And, you know, because then he passed away. But when she decided to go home, and she gave Patty stuff, every time something broke, he bought it new. So I think she went to church, but I think that's about all. She never did integrate in the area or something. He just pretty much kept her as his little woman or whatever.
Wow.
Right? And then the whole time, he had been involved with, and it said that who he had testified for and all that kind of stuff.
And was he involved in the mob in San Francisco?
Yeah, huh. I guess so. There's stories about it in, you know, different things. Hmm. And this was the other thing that, it was one of those strange things. This was appeared in the paper about the ghost. And so I said, well, I know who the ghost is.
What ghost?
Well, this was bothering somebody in Marin View.
Oh.
But I said, this is just what I wrote about the ghostly.
Can you read that just a second?
Yeah. I grew up and am still living in our family home in Tennessee Valley. My grandfather, Joseph Cardoza Pimentel, owned a dairy farm for years called the Coyote Jersey Farm, which included all the land above the Tam Valley School. I believe the area where the featured home in the article, Ghost Flusters, is located near where an old oak tree used to be. Many of the farm workers were Portuguese and would come from the whaling ships that visited the bay. One hung himself from that oak tree, which is around where Carrera Drive is today. Perhaps the Bernstein should try speaking to the ghost in Portuguese. Also, it is very common that the workers had Asian friends. Perhaps the first ghost was a friend of his, because they said they thought it was Asian, because they were jumping ship too. But because they'd go to San Francisco, there were a lot of Asian workers that were in the area too.
Right.
And my grandfather didn't have Asian people working for him, but these guys, they would work for a period of time and they'd go off on binges and they'd be gone for 2 or 3 days. You know, maybe after a week and come back, yeah, or whatever. Or try to think maybe, well, yeah, I really want to go to the gold country. So they'd go back and hang around and then maybe not go to the gold country. But anyway, then they wouldn't have papers or anything. So like in our, we have a plot up here that says Pimentel, but there's somebody buried in it. That guy that hung himself, my grandfather buried him in our plot. But we didn't know his, I mean, my aunt or nobody in the family actually knew what the guy's name was.
Wow.
But he was buried because he was a worker. And so there's no, you know, people say questions. But I said, well, but in a lot of the, there's Portuguese island, Macau.
Right.
That they look Asian or Oriental. And so possibly the guy, you know, he said that somebody was, but he could have been one of the Portuguese that was from Macau too.
Huh.
So
interesting.
I said, oh, I think I know who the ghost is. Because as a kid, we were told that, you know, behind the house was a tree. And then when that house came down and they built the school, I went up there and we walked around and stuff and my dad and all. And then we went to where the oak tree is and he said, well, this is the tree. And, you know, this house they're putting right here and they shouldn't put a house here because of the spring. But the spring's still there and they're coming. You know, the spring runs along the side and stuff. So I had done, you know, a lot of things up there and then, you know, hiking around and stuff and asking questions. And it was kind of funny when I saw that, the paper, I said, oh, so maybe he's at rest now.
Right.
It's kind of, I said, you're only 2 houses away from the guy where the guy hung himself. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, interesting.
Kind of, they had somebody come in, I don't know, from the university or something that they do this, the heat and the seismic stuff and things. But
did they find anything?
I don't know.
Huh.
But it was just that I thought, oh, just like the lady I remember, the lady walking.
Mrs. Smith.
Uh-huh. But I don't remember, I don't know what she looked like. But they did find her in shorts, and they did find a, they asked her, you know, if she had glasses, and I don't think so, I said. He said, well, and then he asked another question, I said, maybe she wore a hat. I guess there was a visor in the stuff. Hmm. From, you know, to shade her when she walked.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, she came out and went walking, but that was, she didn't actually really communicate with anybody. I mean, we just knew there was a Mrs. Smith in that house.
Hmm. Is that house still there, or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They remodeled it. They continued to dig it out, and they got a room for the baby and all everything. But it was kind of funny because it was the consequences of the time and stuff. I mean, you wouldn't even think about it. I mean, that was you joked about it. You know, during that time frame, maybe for the next 5, 10 years or something, you say, oh, there was another guy that we called him Nature Boy or something, and he was up on the other side of the valley, and he was just kind of like, you know, hairy and everything, and so you think, you know, you say, oh, you see Nature Boy, and no, it was kind of like the same situation. You kind of knew that there was somebody around the valley, but you didn't know
who they were exactly, or
what they were about. And then like Mrs. Smith, when we didn't know she had disappeared, but we figured that she maybe got tired of him and ran off or something, and the big black car, that's all we thought, oh man, they must have money because they have such a big car. mafia coming and going, I guess, but you wouldn't know.
Did you ever have any reason to believe it was the mafia?
No, until we read it in the paper there.
Wow. Yeah.
No, because you know, just a big...
Big black car.
Just thought they had money.
Yeah.
Because it was like a Lincoln or something that nobody around here had.
Right.
None of my friends had cars like that.
Hmm.
But things like that come up, which is kind of strange. But this is just trails and stuff. Coyote, how it became Tan Valley. It's just, McGee, she writes a lot for you guys, doesn't she?
Yeah. I think so.
Elizabeth McGee. I just save things. Look at taxes. Only $14.52, this particular tax.
$14.52. Mm-hmm. Wow. And that was what year?
30-something.
1936, yeah.
The lot. See, this is what we were trying to say, but it just didn't help.
Hmm.
Just pictures of when we... How it changed. It just continued to change, but I saved stuff. So somebody really wants to investigate. That's Grandpa. That's my dad's father.
Were
looking
these
out
orchard trees back in
yeah,
there?
We had pears here. There's one pear in the front of the house that's still over. And then there were pear trees like here, and then my mom had rabbit coops underneath because they sold the rabbits for food.
Oh.
To make money. She had right in here, like going this way, where the cage is for rabbits. But there's no pictures of the rabbits. This is how it is up in the back. Well, this is the gas station down there.
Where was that gas station?
Tampa right here at the corner. This is it was a Portuguese Alvarado that had the gas station.
Oh, I love the gas man on top.
Yeah.
That's great. What year is that, does it say?
No. But you sometimes
tell
I mean
by
a
the
guy
car,
can tell by the car.
Model T
I can't sometime. Tell by the car.
Yeah.
But guys can tell by the car. See that's and I just went down and took some pictures of today and stuff in here.
So this is the same station
yep, that's
today.
It now. Or
well
maybe
Surfshop Sports.
10 years ago or so. But yeah, it's still surf. See this is how the property was. And see we had all those cows.
Oh yeah.
And
this is 44, 46.
Yep. That's when my dad had dairy cows. Now my son has sheep all over there. This is when we built the house, 52. See?
Yeah.
Broke ground. And it was actually built by my uncle and my grandfather and a few other people, at least the foundations and stuff. Just like this house was built from three other houses.
Really?
That's what we were told, but I've never been able to find. And not too long ago, I was talking to my aunt about all of it, and she said when they moved out on Vineyard, she remembers that some tubs fell off, and then they couldn't find them. And she said that she thinks those were the old pictures. Because I was looking for old pictures, because I've got hooks out here that look like they should have had shutters or something, and sometimes I try to find, you know, stuff that will relate, but can't do that. I guess that's pretty much. But if you're, you know.
So, by the time you were in high school, was it more like the 50s, early 60s, or was it now the late 60s? So
I was in high school. I graduated in 60.
In 60.
56,
okay.
I went to, Martin Luther King.
Okay.
From that.
And so what did you see that was different when as you were raising your kids here?
Oops. Well, everything had changed already.
Like?
Just
clothes and music and...
Right, and the street was no longer quiet. And
right.
The kids went off to activities constantly. My kids did not go to... a preschool or anything, but they did start kindergarten.
Right.
And it was kind of, I was just talking to somebody, and they're saying, well, I've got to get, they're getting it into preschool.
Yeah. Right, that's
said,
right.
I said, oh, well, I said, Kenny didn't go to preschool, and I said, but he knew every his grandpa taught him every vegetable was a every name of every vegetable and every plant that was out there or something. You know, you just followed your around the right. grandparents around, and you stood underneath and waited for the chicken to lay the eggs because it was like this, and you could look up. You know, in the old days, they had wire and they put it.
The chickens
would lay onto the wire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I can remember a pig, but we never had pig. I can remember a pig out in the back, and I can remember the brooders, which were the tubs or the hens' houses, and then the feeders were inside that were incubating kind of things. But we never were huge into chickens. But see, in Petaluma, after they had cows, but they also had chickens because Petaluma was full chicken.
Right.
So then next door, the relatives that were across the street had lots of chickens, which was my dad's sister and husband. They had chickens, and then we had cows over here out on Magnolia.
So when you go into the city very much, San Francisco?
When I got into high school, I went to work for American Express this one summer, so I went to the city.
Okay, and how was it? What was that like?
Well, we'd go at Christmas time with my grandmother.
Oh, and what?
And you could go to Woolworths, and you'd have to get dressed up, and then she'd let you stop at Woolworths. We'd have turkey dinner at Woolworths.
And where was Woolworths? Was it in Union
right on
Square?
The right on the corner there where the cable car turnaround is.
Oh, wow.
And then if you walk to the bus, you have to walk to 7th Street for the bus to come home. There was Crystal Palace, and they had meat hanging and stuff. It was kind of a weird, it was like an old-fashioned grocery store, Crystal Palace, I guess.
Huh.
And it was
on 7th Street, or?
On the way to 7th Street. And then before there was places where you could get a little box of jewelry for a dollar or something. It had the pin, and it came in a little box, so you'd have a treasure kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I know the Crystal Palace was there.
And
it
so
always smelled, I don't know, because I think the fresh beef or something, I don't know.
Right.
Oh, we got to, no. I didn't mind Woolworths, but I didn't like going to the Crystal Palace.
Right. And why did your grandmother pick Woolworths? Any particular reason?
Oh, we got to do that.
Oh, you
get to go. We get to go to the roof rides at the Emporium.
Oh, yeah.
Then we get to go have their turkey dinner. It was like a TV dinner, but Woolworths always did turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce. And they had a place upstairs to eat where it was really busy, and then they had downstairs, which was a little quieter.
Did any of your other friends do that, or was that just kind of special treat for your family?
Grandma would take us to do that. She would usually take Jeannie, my cousin, my double cousin, and I, and my sister when she got a little bit older, I guess.
Was it the sort of thing where you wore gloves and everything?
Well, we ended up, we had gloves, but a lot of times we didn't. But yeah, you had to wear a little skirt with a little, we actually didn't wear pants until about the, I was in high school and we paid to wear pants. So people forget. I mean, you could have Capri Day, and if you donated to something or you, I don't know, you buy tickets to wear capris on Capri Day.
Wow.
And I was, you know, that's the 60s, but that's when we started wearing pants.
Right, right.
But up to that point, you didn't wear pants.
You wore a skirt every day or dress.
Yeah. And then if you had something that was nice, you had a skirt that the little crop jacket or something was made out of the same material. It was like, you know, to go to church or whatever.
Right, right. And did your brother wear a tie or suit? What did your brother wear?
I have no idea.
I can't remember.
He must have wore jeans.
Yeah.
Oh. I had cousins who wore jeans that never washed their jeans. they come up to stay, and they, because they were for ranches down. My dad actually had 13 brothers and sisters, and so when I was my age, there was only like 7 or 8 alive. But those had husbands and wives, and then they had kids, and then kids had kids, and so there was a lot of family. There was family that was in Apricots up there above Eastridge. There was family that was dairy where what's Great America is. Uncle Pat had the grocery store in nearby where Great America was, but Uncle John had a dairy. I mean, there was just a lot of people in that area. And even Uncle Tony, they had a dairy, but then they moved from there to chickens, and then from chickens they moved to Fortuna. So they moved. But most Portuguese people were pretty much farmers.
And it seemed like there were a lot of people around Sacramento, too. Was that part of your family?
Elk Grove area and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
They have a lot of Portuguese up in there, too.
Did you all get together at various times, or was transportation too hard?
San Jose was the big excursion. Okay. And then we go all the way to Lemoore, which became a naval base. But at that time, Hanford, Lemoore, that area was Portuguese, but they were into cotton. Honey and Melinda and that side of the family, they were into cotton. But they came from Grandma Pimentel's side of the family.
Hmm.
Aunt May was Grandma's sister, and they were into cotton down there.
And did you go into downtown Mill Valley very often, or?
Not really.
No, because
when I was in high school, I did.
What would you need to or want to go into downtown Mill Valley for?
Not too much. You know.
Because it seems like
the library or something, or there was a place. I mean, most kids that lived in Mill Valley, they would hang out with the ice cream store or something that was there, and then buy brown shoes and stuff. The old mill, or became the old mill when my daughter was there, so she used to work upstairs in the old mill. But it came like kind of a little boutique-y or something for a while.
So it seemed like more your activity went towards Sausalito as opposed to Mill Valley. But then had it changed by the time you had kids? Were they going more towards Mill Valley, or were they still going more towards Sausalito?
They went everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it was hard doing Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. And so then I got everybody into 4-H, so then we moved as a unit. We had to move, most of the time we had to move farther, like Point Reyes or...
Right.
Yeah. For activities and stuff. A lot of them were in the Novato side. But I had to move. But then I could move them as a unit.
Right. Yeah. All together.
All together. So
yeah.
There would be some kind of field day, or if they had separate projects, then those were small and at home. I mean, I taught sewing for 4-H and take cooking and stuff, and then people would come here. And Patty Bell and I had the 4-H out of Mill Valley, and so we had quite a few kids at one time.
So would you carpool up to Novato, or everybody drive separately? Or
yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon the kids got so they could do
drive.
It themselves.
Right.
Just like they were involved at Hallett Creek, which is the riding for the handicaps and several Falls of the kids. So if Saturday they were going out there, pretty soon at least the oldest one could drive to Hallett Creek and take a bunch of kids and stuff.
And where was Hallett Creek?
Point Reyes.
Oh, okay.
Point Reyes, Nicasio, maybe.
Okay. Did you guys have horses?
No. Occasionally we had a horse back there before, but they tear up the ground, get so muddy and things, and so finally we didn't. But we had a pony.
Okay.
Karen had a pony. I didn't, but Karen had, one of my daughters had a pony.
And you would you ever ride those into the pony into downtown Mill Valley, or?
No. It's strictly Marlin by then.
And then,
I don't think I've ever seen horses in
downtown Mill Valley.
No, I don't think so. I mean, out here on the trails and hills and stuff.
Somebody was telling me that there was a kind of that actually, although now people think of Mill Valley as very upper class, that at one point it was not considered upper class at all. Do you remember something like that? Or
no, I was already broken into groups by the time I hit high school.
So what does that mean?
Well, you had downtown people and you had...
Tan Valley people.
Valley, right.
Yeah.
And most of the people that lived by the tennis courts and stuff and up in the hill were different than all those kids did different things than we did, so to speak. They usually had money to do more things than we did.
And was that more like dances, or was that more?
Just things in general.
Just everything, yeah.
I mean, if you went to the show, you went once every 3 months or something, where they would go every weekend, or they'd go hang out at downtown at the ice cream place or something, because they always had a little more flexible money so they could do those things.
Right.
It was just pretty much it's kind of like Sausalito. You've got Old Town and New Town, and you definitely had breaks, and you had the kids that lived in the houseboats.
Right.
But the kids in the houseboats generally went around with us kids from out here and the kids from Marin City, because it was... they weren't part of the other group of kids.
Were there fights, or was it pretty civil between?
It's pretty much. There was some discussions in the high school level, but they were never, people would get ticked off, but it never, I mean, as I was driving, when my brother had played in a band and stuff, and he played, I don't know, he ended up playing football, but anyway, he had some buddies that were black that played, he was friends with these from the band, and I had picked two of them up. Sometimes I would pick them up here at the corner. They'd come walk around or whatever, and I'd pick them up here when I was driving, because I was older and I was driving to school, and one day I got hit in the parking lot by a teacher. And, oh my goodness, it was quite dramatic, and you're overloaded and stuff. I didn't. I had three kids, my brother and two kids in the back or whatever. But that's when, I mean, there was a lot of discussion and stuff, and here we were just, and that one of those kids ended up becoming he played professional for a while, and then he became a teacher, and he was, but it was like, but we were already, I was in trouble, because I was like fighting the establishment and stuff.
Right,
but
right.
It really wasn't, just how it was interpreted. And they drew lines.
Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't, the friend of mine over here, she was the first black teacher in Mill Valley, Shirley, and she gets in a lot of discussions. People actually put burning cross on her lawn and stuff. And that was only like, I guess probably 30 years ago now. She's 16, she's been retired for, and she was just had her 70th birthday, so she's been retired for a while. But I mean, being the first black teacher, and that wasn't that long ago.
No.
And that they did such.
It's hard to believe, but yeah.
Yeah. And then she has kids now that come back and are so grateful for her for doing this and doing that. But it wasn't that long ago.
Right, right.
There was an article. Well, that's when we started talking about the Little League and stuff, being in the parade. And he hadn't seen that because we were going through pictures of stuff I had. And I said, yeah, my father had a hard time trying to integrate the Little League, the Pony League, because the lodge was paying for it. And he said everybody should play. And they said the Sausalito, because it was Sausalito. And they said no. And then so there was quite a few meetings and everything. And so finally he did actually. And then my brother talked like when my father died about the Ujolity, about him
being successful in doing that.
Bucking the system. But it was how it was. I mean, you're still just. The Marin City School District and stuff is still always, the people in Sausalito, well, they go to Willow Creek now, or they call it Willow Academy, but whatever.
Right, right. And were most of the workers on the dairy, were they all the same ethnic group?
Pretty
or
much
were they
Portuguese.
Pretty much so.
Yeah, and if you lost one, then you got another one. Just like, I mean, it's kind of unbelievable now that someone gets sick that you can't get someone in to take care of them, because you just, when we were growing up, if somebody got ill or something, or got old, you just send for another relative or for a relative of another relative, and pretty soon you'd have a caregiver and stuff.
Right.
But that's not the way it is.
No.
Nope, it's high price to keep them. And I don't think they do it anyway. Yes, Easter Sunday? No, the day before is Thursday, I guess it was. I gave a girl a ride home, and she's an arped. And she's from, her name is Kodomodu. She's very black. She has kind of a Jamaican accent, I don't know. But she's been hired as a caregiver. I said, you just came? Yeah, I have a 6-month contract, she said. Scary.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you be?
To come to a country and not know anyone, and
she speaks English wherever she came from.
Right.
And it has just a little, maybe a French accent or something.
Right.
There's something with it. But she's I dropped her off. She's working for somebody in those apartments where Whiskey Springs is, where the distillery used to be.
Hmm.
But But before, it would happen, but it would happen because some family of some family, like my aunt kept bringing people over, because they had, one time they had like seven in the house there, and then pretty soon they would get jobs, or the kids would work, everybody would work, doing newspapers or whatever and going to school, and eventually they'd be able to move out, and then she'd bring in another crew, because Uncle Pat, which was my dad's sister, but it was his side of the family, they just kept bringing people over.
From Portugal?
From the Azores. Well, okay, actually, Azores. Nobody from our family's from the mainland. Okay. They're either from the Peak or St. George. But yeah, they just bring them over. One time there was like seven. She had bunk beds on both sides, like three sets of bunk beds. Everybody was feeding and going sideways. And pretty soon they would get jobs and they'd get off. And
now, would they pay her to come, or how did it work? Do you know?
The relatives, you mean?
Yeah.
I guess once you got passage, then you were...
That was all you had to do.
Yes. And then of the family would have to kick in and get you set up. And they always were, in no time, they were doing something. And pretty soon they were out of there. Hmm. And they would get, you know, homes and kids and raise them, and they'd be on their way. But it works the same thing with, like my girlfriend with the Lebanese. Her husband, that was what he did. He was teaching, and he really didn't want to teach anymore. He wanted to come to the United States, I guess. And so his father said, okay, I'll sell this piece of land and give you the money, but you need to, once you get where you want, you have to keep, you know, bring people over. And I mean, I went to his 75th birthday, I think. There was 13 children, and he had gotten the last one brought over.
Amazing.
And there was a lady, well, it was really amazing to look how things progressed too, because his older sister was there, and she was in her black garb, and, you know, her face was out, but she was pretty much in black, and she had a wrap. All right, then the youngest one he bought, just the last one, before his own kids graduated and stuff, and then his wife went back to teach in Saudi where he was at. But she was in boots to her knees and a short miniskirt. These are technically sisters.
Siblings, yeah.
Yep. It was just like, oh my God. But it was probably a matter of, I don't know how the lady kept having kids, but, you know, it was like 22 years or something between, you know, the kids. But
right.
Yeah, they were all at like seven or eight of them were at this birthday party. And It was just totally amazing because, I mean, she was very old-fashioned. And then the other one works for Payless Shoes, and she was in boots up to her knees. And
right.
But that's, they do the same thing, Lebanese families and stuff. Though they think lesser of women.
Right.
Yeah, the Portuguese, they didn't tell you to go to the kitchen. I mean,
really? How was it with the Portuguese?
Well, mainly, sometimes you did.
Right.
But, I mean, generally it wasn't your place to be in the, I mean, it wasn't your place to be in the kitchen to be working, because that's what you knew, but it wasn't like you had to be in the kitchen working. I mean, or you could be out milking cows and whatever. I mean, you could be equal, so to speak, not that you had to fix the meals and then leave the room, which is kind of...
Right, right.
They were still...
More or less in that.
Yeah, the men had their room in there, and the women had where
their
they
room.
Belonged.
Right.
It wasn't really that way with the Portuguese. It's just everybody had to work. It didn't... I never even thought of it until I was it with Pam and stuff, and I'd see that even to this day, sometimes she doesn't go into where the men are having their discussions or whatever.
Right, right.
I mean, it's 50 years down the road. They've been married like 50 years or something, you know. It's just kind of...
Just...
Still, they have those...
Tradition.
Barriers or whatever you want to call them.
Is there anything that she thinks is unusual, or when she looks at... that she'll say to you, like... Or do you ever, I don't know if she ever comments and says, how do you do that?
No. It's just, you know, sometimes I know that, but she pretty much has, you know, does a lot of fighting nowadays for herself or for whatever she thinks is the family manipulations and stuff. Because, yeah, when you get to be that age and you've got kids and you've got property and you've got elderlies who are too, you know, you end up in different situations than you did
before.
You
know,
before. Yeah, you have to take control, or you have to say something, or things just don't happen.
Right.
Because they have a different mindset about them. Just because that's how they grew up. But we kind of just grew up that, you know, you had to work and you had to keep moving. Keep moving.
And how did you, once you got out of, so you went to Sonoma State, did you say?
Oh, no, I went to San Francisco State for 2 years.
San Francisco
State. Yeah, but I didn't finish. I got married.
You just decided.
And then I went back to, I went to work at the hospital. And then, I don't know, after the kids started to go to school or something, I started volunteering over. And then there was openings for early childhood education. So then I went back and was trying to get an early childhood thing. Because I was teaching in the classroom PE and perceptual motor. I had units, I pick up units in the things I wanted.
Right.
But I didn't have a credential. So technically I wasn't supposed to be left alone in the classroom.
Right.
But I was.
So where?
I pretty much ran my program over there, and I ran it for the 3 Mill Valley school districts.
Wow.
I taught perceptual motor, which was a PE program that integrated everybody has a ball, everybody has a jump rope, using the Stegel and that type thing. It was mostly motor integration, and then I used tumbling, and I did work with some kids that were...
special needs.
Repatterning and stuff like that type thing. And then I was in school. And Prop 13 came along, so I lost my job. And then I went to work for Safeway. So Tiburon, actually. I retired out of Safeway after 23 years. Bon Appetit, the gourmet one. I worked there for 13 years till they closed it.
Oh, wow.
And then I came to Strawberry Safeway.
Okay. And so any memories of your experiences in the different grocery stores and as things changed or what you saw?
Well, I started with 10 key, at register, and I couldn't go over $9.99. If your meat happened to cost more than $9.99, you had to add up the dollar on the second key or something.
Wow.
$9.99 was the end of my register.
Wow.
$9.99. Now, hot dogs, $9.99.
Yeah.
I went from manual to touch and into scanners.
Wow.
Just like when I was a freshman, we went into electric typewriters.
Yeah, yeah.
And then before long, you know, when I was at Safeway, I had to get glasses because I could read numbers, but when we got barcodes and stuff, I couldn't see. It was about that time anyway, but I couldn't tell. The barcodes are not like numbers. You could always tell by the loops and things like that.
Yeah,
Yeah. But that was the first, Tiburon was a trial store.
Hmm.
Bon Appetit, they put 3 of them. They put one in Danville, one in the Embarcadero that's still there, I think, and then Tiburon. And it was most of the grocery stores at the time, Alpha Bean and stuff, they had to diversify. And so some of them went into clothing and stuff. And then Safeway decided to go into 3 levels of stores. A gourmet one and the pack and save type concept where the gate would open and the groceries would come out both sides, and then a regular Safeway. And so what we did is supposedly we were picked or whatever. But anyway, we... we're trained to do things which are normal now. We had a lobster tank. Nobody had a lobster tank. We had liquor. We had home delivery. We had a deli. We had natural foods. And you forget that aspirins and things weren't at the grocery stores.
Right.
All of that stuff happened out there in that store for a period of time, and then they evaluated, and then they let it go into other stores and stuff. So it was more, they called it the gourmet store. But I mean, like, charge accounts and stuff, and then people, delivery, and the, fancy stuff.
Right.
We had a lobster tank.
Wow. So then was there quite a different clientele in between these stores? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need some water?
Yeah, I'm going to get some water. The demand for the gourmet stuff. I mean, cilantro. We went to Kroger's school. Those things weren't in grocery stores. A lot of those
Right, right.
It's ordinary now. Basil, cilantro, all that stuff wasn't there.
Wow.
We went to learn about them. We had training schools and stuff on all that stuff.
Huh.
My girlfriend, we were laughing. She wanted some pants yesterday. I said, well, it's not the color. I said, it has to be the Pantone color. And I said, I remember when I first learned about colors. I was working natural food, and we had in pantyhose. And they only made pantyhose in nude in summer. They change the cut the machines off and change over. Well, they do the same thing now, but we don't realize it because you can't get certain colors because they've already done with it and it's over with.
Wow. I
mean, think everything is endless.
Yes.
You can get white pants. I said, if you're going to buy, I forget, she wants a light blue pair of pants. I said, well, you better find them now.
Yeah.
Because when it's really summer, they're not going to be available because they've already changed the machines over to something else. That's the only reason I remember, because we were talking about it yesterday. I said, you better go looking now because it'll be too late. I mean, pretty soon a swimsuit's going to be too late.
Yeah.
They're already onto something else.
Yeah.
I mean, snow bunny clothes or whatever, but it's kind of like, and I said, I remember the pantyhose. All of a sudden, something pops into your mind. I said, I couldn't, for the store, I was ordering for the store, but I couldn't even get them in because it was the wrong season. Yeah. They changed the machines over, I guess, and they were only dying. That's when they still came in those eggs.
Eggs, yes, yes.
Well, most people wanted, I don't know, nude or they wanted suntan, but it was the wrong season, and I couldn't get it. And they had a tendency to be demanding people into the wrong.
Really?
Especially if she had a corporate job or something. And, women were just getting power then. Right. They were just getting corporate.
How did
jobs and stuff?
Was that the thing that you noticed, is the change in sort of the demand, or?
Yeah, but a lot of them were very demanding. But that was. It was. We used to laugh about new money versus old money.
How
the
so?
People that had money.
Right.
They just accepted things, and that was just they didn't. But people who had just got money, like to take control and like to Don't turn it that way. Do it this way. And things like that. They would just say, oh, that's old money or that's new money. Because they just started to get power. For whatever reason, whether it was stocks or their relatives left it to them. I was working out there at a time when people were the Iranians were buying houses with suitcases of money. They were actually paying cash for it.
In Tehran?
Houses in Tehran.
Wow.
But that was when the heyday was going, with oil or whatever it was, but
And
to buy houses with cash.
Did you notice? Did they actually live there too, or did they just buy them for?
Yeah, some of them lived there.
Okay.
Some of them would have deliveries and stuff.
And did you notice a difference at some point where all of a sudden, instead of driving sort of regular average cars, all of a sudden, now there's a lot more BMWs or whatevers.
Yeah. The one I really like, though, is, she was kind of nice, though, but her license plate said Doctor's X, and I always tickled me. So I guess he paid for the car.
Yeah, sounds like it. And she was happy about that.
She was happy about that, right.
To let everybody know.
Sometimes you remember people for strange reasons, but that was something I remember too. Dr. Sex.
And I forgot to ask you about, we talked about Christmas. Did you have like a Halloween tradition growing up, or because you were out here by yourself?
I get to go, because Central School would always have a Halloween parade, and you get to go across the stage in your whatever you had for a costume, and they would give you something.
Oh, okay, so no trick-or-treating at houses, but a pageant kind of thing.
You get to go to. And then when my kids got small, or got the Halloween age, we would go to the mother-in-law's in Corte Madera because they could go to the trick-or-treating in the houses.
Lots of little houses next to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's safe with sidewalks.
Got to do everything, yeah.
Yeah.
But that Halloween, we'd go there. And then for Christmas, you'd have the Christmas party for the hall. It would be the Portuguese Christmas party.
Okay. Special food for that different than
no,
the
No, we would
Holy
just have
Rose?
Dessert probably, and Santa Claus would come, and Santa Claus would bring everybody a present. And then when my father was president, and I was, I guess I had small kids, I used to have to go shopping. And we'd go to the list of the members and try to find the age groups. And they would have to get, I'd have to get age-appropriated presents for like 250, 300 people.
Oh, and then gosh. The on a budget, too, right?
And the lodge members would come and they would wrap them all.
Wow.
So we had to mark them according to ages and like 0 to 2 and then... But I used to, I go to the city. I say, oh.
Where'd you go in the city?
Kindle and Graham.
Oh, what is that? Was that a big
It's a toy distributor or something.
Oh, okay.
They did all the carnivals and all that kind of stuff, too.
Wow.
So you try to get age-appropriate stuff and girl-boy mix, kind of like stuff that animal that would be an animal rather than a doll or something, so that would be hit boy or girl. But
right, right.
Crazy. I didn't even remember that. So I did some crazy things, but my dad was president for like 25 years, so.
Oh, wow, that is a long time.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah. Huh. Did your mom have to do a lot, too, or was just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But she was still working, too.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, I've asked a lot of questions, and maybe I haven't hit some of the things that you thought I would ask about. Is there anything...
I don't know. I'm just rambling on and on.
No, that's great. There's so many stories that, you know, it really gives a flavor for life.
The things that you remember are strange most of the time.
Yeah.
They pop up, and I think, oh, that's strange.
Yeah.
But it was how it was.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, honey.
And what we'll do is we'll have this transcribed and then send it to you so you can look it over if there's anything you want to change or anything like that. But after that, it will just be part of the historical documents.
Okay, because it doesn't seem very historical. Kind of just seems like kind of rambling, but whatever.
You know, I think everybody sort of feels that way, but there are so many snippets of that they begin to round out what life looked like. And, you know, people today, it doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but they don't think of different things like...
$9.99.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Or, you know, it's really interesting to just know just everybody's different lifestyles and what it was.
Because this is pretty much, I mean, we've never been the peacock feather kind of people, and we used to laugh at that, but because that was the image, cause especially being Tam Valley and being at Tam Valley School and stuff. I mean,
was this school known more so?
Or? It was just because they had made a documentary of Mill Valley, and Tam Valley School had been in it in the hot tub, and the teacher and the person they had interviewed and stuff was, and they had. And the kid had a birthday party, and they used a limousine to pick him up to take him to the pizza place and stuff. And so there was all this hype on that kind of thing and stuff.
What were your kids' birthday parties like?
Pretty much, I was a baker, so they always had a special cake or something. And
right.
I mean, I remember Candy's 13th birthday because we rented the whole dome at the Exploratorium when you used to have the thing, and then you could go through the
tactile dome.
Yeah, yeah. Come home and had bird seed because the jeans had gotten it. You landed in a chute into bird seed or something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was bird seed all over and stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah, my kids loved that too for their
birthday.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But, I mean, I've got pictures of Karen for her birthday. I mean, we went to Old Mill Park. It was a big deal to go to Old Mill Park and take over the whole place and have dessert or something out there in the park. I mean, it was just kind of. It was. We generally didn't do.
Mine loved that
pizza,
too.
Maybe pizza. Once I went to Farrell's ice cream store, and I thought, oh my God, I'll never do that again. It was like I don't know, I just took my kids, plus maybe each of them had a pal or something. But it was in Stonestown, and they came out with the ice cream on a stretcher and all that noise.
Oh my gosh,
oh man, that was.
Too much, right?
Way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Farrell's, but yeah, they put that because they make a sundae that was big enough for the whole party.
For the whole party, yeah. I remember,
but they brought it in a stretcher or something, and
yeah,
bells and sirens. Those things that they use at ballparks. Oh yeah, my yeah. goodness. No, no.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree.
How could I have done something like that?
Well, thank you again. Okay. Really a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Let me just...
And I'm sorry about that, but you didn't come in until I went to look to the computer, but I had it on the calendar the whole time. So.
Oh, good. No, no, no. It worked out great. I forgot to ask you about Maroncello. You mentioned it right at the beginning. What do you remember about that? Because that was when they were going to build houses all over this area.
Down here at the arch. It wasn't actually in this. It's down where the gates are to go to, that's locked across now to go to the ocean.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's Maroncello. That arch is there with the stables on the side. It was going up on the hill. See, now the only thing, nobody wanted it. They wanted to keep it open. But see, I did want it. Because selfishly, it would have brought me water and I would have been able to build my house.
Oh.
We had moved back just right before then to move back into this house so that we could build in the back.
Right, right.
Because my dad had rented this to somebody and they had moved out and we had moved in and just supposed to stay.
When was that? About when was that?
Kenny was a baby, probably 61, 62.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just got
shot down by all
the... Well, first one group bought part of it, and then eventually they got the GDNRA going. That was Bill Wayman that lived over here, was the GDNRA, and yeah.
Okay.
So it worked out better for everybody. But it was a whole community.
Yeah.
I mean, they were putting the grocery stores and everything back up there.
Yeah, it would have been much different.
Mm-hmm. But they were going to see the road was going to get
widened
and fixed, and the water and stuff. That was before them. Before this wasn't. This was all just all trees.
Right.
This was still our.
What's the name of that addition or?
Tennessee Glen.
Tennessee Glen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's them. Okay. See, it says right here, branch office, Throckmorton Avenue, Mill Valley. So maybe they might. I didn't actually. I just when I was cleaning my aunt's stuff, I said, "Well, I'll look at these later." And then I saw Nobel, and I thought, "Well, maybe this will work for you."
Yeah, thank you.
Somebody might have. There might be a name or something in here.
Is it something we can take or we?
Oh, yeah, I'm giving them to you.
Oh,
they're
great!
Just,
thank you.
I just certain things. I feel strange throwing them in.
No, these are great.
Into the 1956.
Yeah, switchboard. My mom was a switchboard operator.
I did that.
Did you?
At Ross Hospital when I was very pregnant. And pretty soon, my arms couldn't reach anymore. Because it was the old pole.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Ross Hospital, and I did it part-time at night. And I couldn't get close enough. Would your child be a newspaperman? Insulated this, walk-a-tot.
And if you don't mind, I'll take a picture with my phone of some of those things that you showed me. Thank you.
These are just kind of fun.
Yeah.